Good morning, Village Church. Before we get into our passage this morning, we need to get into the sanctuary. So if you could kind of move to the middle, if you see seats on the end and you want to move a little bit, I know I'm asking you to do something you can't do, right? Because there's not that many seats. But if you guys could make some seats for people who come in the back, that would be great. We might be adding some in the back here in just a moment. So thanks for doing that. No one's moving because no one can move. So, all right, here we go. If you're a guest with us, my name's Matt. I'm one of the pastors here at the Village Church, and we're glad to be with you. We're in a sermon series in the book of Joshua called The Promises of God, and this morning we're going to talk about this idea of remembering the promises of God, remembering the promises of God. And remembering is a gigantic theme in the Bible. Like, if you're looking for mega themes in the Bible, meta themes in the Bible, remembering is a mega theme in the Bible. Over 500 times in the Bible, it tells us to remember God's commands, to remember his covenant, to remember his promises. And the question is, why does God tell us to remember so often? And I think we probably all know the answer. And the answer is because we tend to forget, right? We tend to have spiritual amnesia. Maybe you are a forgetful person. I find myself that way. I don't know why. Maybe it's a little adult ADD or whatever it is, but I tend to forget things. I have a great wife and good friends who tend to remind me and be patient with me. Maybe you're a person that's really got all your ducks in a row and remembering is easy for you, but that's not the kind of remembering we're talking about this morning, is it? Right, the Hebrew term for remembering is not just a call to mind something, to remember a detail, or to remember to do something. The Hebrews, when they remember, they're saying they're concerned about something. They're reflecting on something, and they're committing to act on something. When these people are talking about remembering, when God's talking to his people about remembering, he's saying, I want you to be concerned about this, I want you to reflect on it, and I want you to do something about it. I want you to do something with it. I want you to act on it. And so this morning, we're in Joshua chapter 4, perhaps one of the most famous passages in the entire Bible on remembrance. Remembrance, a mega theme in the Bible. This, a mega passage for us. This is a very powerful passage to help us to understand what it means to remember the promises of God. And it begins in verse 8, which is kind of a summary of verses 1 to 8, where it says, "And the people of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, according to the number of the tribes of the people of Israel, just as the Lord told Joshua. And they carried them over with them to the place where they were lodged, and they laid them down there." The first thing we see this morning is that remembering the promises of God means remembering obedience to the promises of God. If you're writing things down this morning, write this down, that remembering the promises of God means remembering obedience to the promises of God. And there's a reason for this, is that obeying the promises of God and obtaining the promises of God are inextricably connected. Did you hear that? Obeying the promises of God and obtaining the promises of God. If you want to obtain and you want to walk in the promises of God, obtaining the promises of God and obeying the promises of God are inextricably connected. At least that's what Moses told the people. That's what Joshua heard when he was getting mentored in all of these things by Moses. When Moses said, "The whole commandment that I command you today, you shall be careful to do." Why? "That you may live and multiply and go in to possess the land that the Lord your God swore to give your fathers. And you shall remember the whole way that the Lord your God has led you." So Joshua was writing this book in part so that God's people would remember that their obedience was inextricably connected to their obtaining the promises that God had made to them, and specifically the promises of this land. Listen to me, these 12 stones, and you had one on your seat, I'll tell you about that more in a minute, but these 12 stones that were stacked up, they were not like a decorative object. They were not a decorative object, rather they were a declaration. These stones were a declaration of God's faithfulness through the obedience of his people. It was a declaration of God's faithfulness to keep his promises to his people as they walked in obedience to him. All of the stones that were stacked from the very place where the Levites stood in the Jordan in obedience to the Lord. That's where they came from. I don't know if you have ever thought about this in your prayer life, but God moves through prayer. For some reason, that is the way that God has ordained that he is going to move. I don't get it all the time. Like, God can do anything he wants in any way he wants, but for some reason, God is ordained in his providence to move through the prayers of his people. So we pray for things, and then things change. We have the saying that prayer changes things. Because we say that because it's true. God doesn't need our prayers necessarily, but he moves through our prayers to do certain things. And I think in a similar, though not same way, we see God's movement through our obedience. God moves through our obedience. Does he need that to move? No. Does he use our obedience to move? You bet he does. And we see it all throughout the Bible. And so when you and I remember answered prayer, we remember that we actually prayed for someone. And when you and I remember the promises of God that are fulfilled, we should be remembering the obedience that God used to fulfill that promise, either your obedience, my obedience, the obedience of someone we know, and we look at their life and say, praise God, he's doing these things in their life, and so often it's because of their obedience to him. When you and I remember how the promises of God were realized in our lives, or someone we love, we're also remembering the way that that person walked in obedience to realize those promises. And so you might see college students here on a Sunday morning, and you might be older now, and you might be looking at them remembering the days that you were in college, and you're reaping some kind of benefit now, one of the promises of God, and you're remembering how you were disciplined and obedient to God during those years, and by God's grace, he used your obedience to help you get to this next place that you are. Or maybe you're a married person and you're here and you know that marriage is wonderful, but it's not always easy. And you look at another person that has a great marriage, and you look at that and you go, like, those people are obeying God by loving one another well and reconciling quickly and serving one another well. And it reminds you about your faithfulness in your own marriage to do those things, and obedience to the promise of God brings about, or commands of God brings about, all these wonderful promises of God. Maybe you're an empty nester and you're looking back at your kids or your grandkids and you're saying, you know, we by God's grace did our best to follow God's commands to not only have children but to raise them. And now we're looking and we're watching them walking with God, and you see God's faithfulness. You are experiencing so many of the promises of God in part because of your faithfulness to the commandments of God. You look back and you say, praise God. Though, just to be clear, I want to say obedience doesn't earn the promises of God, but it is the way that the people of God enter into and enjoy the promises of God. You're not trying to earn God's promises. God's already made those, and he will fulfill and keep them because he's good and he's faithful. But it is the way we enter into and enjoy the promises of God so often, isn't it? And this is why remembering the promises of God is so important. That's why remembering obedience is so important, because if we forget to remember, we may also forget to obey. And if we forget to obey, we may not obtain the promises that God has for us because we're not walking in obedience to him. And so remembering is so important. Remembering obedience and the promises of God and how they are inextricably connected. Just thinking, when was the last time I thought about the promises of God fulfilled in my life? And I thought about actually any obedience in my life that might have been inextricably connected to that. So remembering the promises of God means remembering the obey the commands of God, but it means more than that. And we see that in the next few verses, starting in verse 9, where it says, "And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant stood. And they are there to this day. For the priests bearing the Ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to tell the people, according to all Moses had commanded Joshua. The people passed over in haste." I think here we see that remembering the promises of God means remembering through public testimony. Remembering the promises of God means remembering through public testimony. When we give testimony to the things that God has done and the way that he's fulfilled his promises to us, it emboldens God's people. It emboldens us. It helps us to remember what God has done when we proclaim with our mouth, with our lips, what he has done. So Joshua sets up a memorial in the midst of the river. And if you read the passage, you don't have time for it this morning, but there's a little debate whether there's one stack of stones or whether there's two. Whether they stacked them in the river, and then after everyone passed, they took them out and they restacked them there across the river, or whether there was a stack across the river and a stack in the river. Dawns on me that maybe there's two stacks, because this is a big remembrance. Why not have two? Why not remember what's in the middle and remember on the other side? But either way, the stones are set up in the middle of the Jordan. And all of Israel has crossed over, and now all of Israel is watching. All of Israel is watching what is happening. They've all crossed over, and now they're all watching these stones be stacked. They're watching this process. And the promises of God are meant to be seen. All the people are watching. They're seeing these stones stacked up. They've seen what God just has done, crossing the Jordan River into the promised land, and then they're meant to be shared. They're meant to be seen, and then they're meant to be shared. And isn't that the purpose of the stones? The purpose of the stones is so that when their kids ask them why, they will tell them. The purpose of the stones is not that God's promises just can be seen, that we can see them being unfolded in one another's lives, but that they are shared. That's the reason for the memorial. And most often, the promises of God are seen through the sharing of God's people. There's a lot of people that are in your life and my life that have never seen the things that happened in our lives. But they'll only see as we share the truths of those moments, as we paint the picture of what God did, as we use our mouths. You can't just see what God has done through a symbol. You see it through sharing. You see it as people paint a picture with their words. They tell a story of how God has moved. I guess it's not in a story. It's an account, isn't it? Because God actually did it. It's not made up. It happened in real life. We have real life markers of this story. We have towns that are marked and areas that are marked. This is not a fanciful story. It's an account of something that actually happened. And when you share about God's faithfulness in your life, it's not just sort of an encouraging story to help someone feel better. It's an actual account of something that God actually did in your life. So the people in our lives have not seen the promises of God necessarily until they've heard about them through us. They see it when we share it. And that reminds me of sort of a sub point that's here, I think, and that's this, that remembering the promise of God means slowing down long enough to remember them. We have to have moments in our lives where we slow down long enough to remember the promises of God, and we have an opportunity to share them with other people. I thought about a moment recently after my daughter's wedding in January. And one of my best friends in life was in town, and another best friend in life was, you know, we're all youth group friends, you know, from back in the day. And we gather around a fire pit in my backyard, and we spent a long time that evening just talking about our lives and God's faithfulness in our lives. To share those things, you need some time just to set aside to slow down long enough to do that. And I don't know if you saw that in the passage, that tension where it says the priest bearing the ark stood in the Jordan until everything was finished. So it took a long time for all those people to cross over. And yet it said the people passed over in haste. So it's like the people passed over quickly in haste, and yet they stayed long enough. There's this tension going on that's saying they're waiting. The priests are waiting. They're waiting for the stones to be stacked. They're pausing long enough. I mean, if it was me, I'd want to pass through an ace too. I'd want to get through that river as fast as I possibly could. I mean, I think I've trusted God and like, I'm going to get through before you, you know? I mean, they made their way through in haste, and yet the priests are just standing there, faithful to God and all that he said to do. Waiting long enough to stack those stones so that they can remember. You know, you might have been here last night. We had a night of worship. It was kind of a night of remembrance where we just decided we're going to slow down long enough. And a few weeks ago, Pastor David came to our core team meeting with our staff and some core lay leaders. And we got through the end of the meeting, and he brought this idea of just sort of doing this night of worship to just remember what God has done in this previous season before we move on to the next season. And I think the first thing I said was, I don't want it to feel like a funeral because we're not dying. The church is growing. But as we kind of talked through it, I'm like, I think this is actually a really good idea. I think it's a God-ordained idea. And we had a wonderful night of worship last night, remembering the promises of God. And it just reminded me that I think a church that forgets how God has worked in the past will struggle to have faith for what he's going to do in the future. So last night was awesome. Hearing the stories of all that God's done in this church in the season past, giving us faith for the future. That's what's happening here for the people of God. We don't need a night of worship to do this. It's an act of worship anytime you open your mouth and share with someone else how God has been faithful to fulfill his promises to you. Right? You don't need a night of worship to give glory to God and to declare and to share how God has moved and how he's kept his promises. You and I can do that anytime, with anyone that we share with about God's faithfulness in our life to fulfill his promises in our lives. And actually, this passage says there are some very specific someones that God has in mind. There are some very specific someones that God has in mind that he wants us to share his promises with. In verse 6, it says this, that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in times to come, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall tell them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When it passed over the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so that these stones shall be to the people of Israel a memorial forever. But you know, it says that a second time later on in the passage, and let me just remind you, the Bible, again, doesn't highlight, it doesn't underline. When the Bible wants us to pay attention to something, often what it does is it repeats it. And so this is like a very core idea in this passage, because the Bible is repeating this again in verses 20 to 23, where it says, and the 12 stones which they took up from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. And he said to the people of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in times to come, fathers, don't you want to be the kind of father that your children are comfortable coming to ask you big questions like this? What do these stones mean? Then you shall let your children know. Israel passed over the Jordan on dry ground, for the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan for you until you passed over, as the Lord your God did at the Red Sea, which he dried up for us until we passed over. I think it's pretty clear here. We see that remembering the promises of God means remembering for the next generation. Remembering the promises of God means remembering for the next generation of the people of God. It says the stones are a memorial forever. But that forever will be remembered, listen to me, one generation at a time. They're a memorial forever, but that memorial forever will be remembered one generation at a time. And this is the primary reason that the memorial exists. Again, he says it twice, and he's trying to draw our attention to something. Don't miss this. This is the reason. This is the primary reason that this memorial exists, so that their children will know about the way that God has moved among them, who he is to them, and what he's done for them. And I want to say, if this is the only reason that you remember God's faithfulness to you, this is a good enough reason. If the only reason that you and I remember God's faithfulness to us to keep his promises is so that we can tell our children, that is enough. That is a good enough reason. That's what this passage is saying. Because the faith in one is one generation away from extinction if it's not taught to the next generation. If we don't teach our children about how God's been faithful to his promises to us, and they don't learn about him as we do that, then it's one generation away from extinction. And this is the primary responsibility of a parent. The primary responsibility of a parent is not just to feed and clothe and nurture and all those things. Of course we do that. But there is a larger responsibility. Of course, you can't get there until you feed and clothe and house them, right? But you're discipling them. You're passing these things along to them. This is the primary responsibility of a parent. Parents are the primary storytellers of God's faithfulness to their children. And I don't know if you're a parent, you think about yourself as a storyteller, but you are the primary storyteller. You're the primary storyteller to your children of God's faithfulness. And so get good at telling stories if you don't feel very good. Do a little practice, because you need to tell God's children, your children, about his faithfulness to them, his faithfulness to you, and how he will be faithful to them. Children love stories. It's our responsibility to tell them the best stories. This is not the responsibility of Adventures in Odyssey. Can I just say that? Right? This is not the responsibility of VeggieTales or whatever other cartoon there is out there. I don't know, because my kids don't watch that stuff anymore. I'm looking forward to being a grandkid. It's like having grandkids sitting down on the couch and like my little grandkid watching VeggieTales, something with no arms. I don't know. But like, this is not the primary responsibility of whatever they watch on the TV. This is your responsibility. And you can use those things. That's great. This is my responsibility with my kids and my grandkids. This is our responsibility as parents. So I don't know. One thought I had was like, maybe you do this thing called like Faithfulness Fridays. Maybe like an idea would be like on Friday night as you sit down to family dinner, you go, hey, we got Faithfulness Friday going on. And at the end of the week as a family, we're just going to all say one way that God's been faithful to us this week. Maybe it's an idea like that. Maybe you say, Mom and Dad saw God's faithfulness to us this week in this way, and we want to tell you about it. Maybe it's Sunday on the way to church. the whole week's gone by, and now you're going to church and saying, God has been so faithful to us. Let's talk about one way that God's been faithful to us as we go to church to worship him together as a family. Maybe you do something like that. Maybe you put up a picture frame in your house that has one of these verses on it about teaching your children, and it's in a place your kid can see, and they ask you, why is that up there? And you tell them, that's up there because we want to tell you about all the ways that God's been faithful to us, because there are so many ways. And so you just put it in a prominent place in your house where your kids can't miss it so that you have this opportunity. Let me just tell you how incredible this opportunity is. Yesterday, this weekend, I was leading a college cohort, it's called the Next Gen Leadership Cohort for college students to help them learn how to lead themselves, lead their families, lead at work and lead on mission, and the mission of God in the world. And some of those guys are here this morning, and Dan Thompson was there yesterday, and Dan Thompson was talking about intentional fatherhood with them, and he wanted to make the point about how important this is. And let me make the point to you this morning. The Thompson family has a 10-generation outlook on their parenting. They're thinking 10 generations out. They're thinking, we're going to make decisions to parent our children that are going to impact 10 generations. So the Thompson families, their goal is 10 generations. Do you know how many people 10 generations is? 10 generations is 30,000 people. 10 generations is 30,000 people. So if your parents in here this morning and you're thinking about passing these things along to your children, I want you to know that if you think 10 generations out, those generations may forget you. I know who my great-grandparents are, but I don't know beyond that. But it will not be unfelt. The impact will not go away. You have the potential to reach just by reaching your children. Do you want to be like a super evangelist? Do you want to go share Christ with all these people? You want to see an impact on your life in the world? Then teach your kids about Jesus. Because if you have a 10-generation view, that's 30,000 people you could impact through those 18 years or so that you get to parent your children. It's amazing. Remembering the promises of God for the next generation is the primary responsibility of parents, but it is the secondary responsibility of the church, and I want you to know we take that really seriously at the Village Church. We've got an incredible children's ministry. Pastor Josh and Gita, all the teachers, have done an incredible job. Think about our Village kids. I mean, literally, we had to buy another building because the kids are taking this one up. Like, they own this building. Like, every room in this building is filled with children. So we're like, we need more space. Oh, there's space right there. Praise God. Because the kids are just like multiplying like crazy. It's amazing. It's wonderful. And we celebrate that. It's so good. Let's get more kids. We got to get another building. I don't know. It's just like we want these children to be here and to be raised to follow Jesus. I want you to know at men's prayer every Friday morning, every single Friday morning at men's prayer, one of the men will pray that not one of the kids at the Village Church will be lost, that they would all be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Every single Friday, we're trusting God that all of our children are going to follow Jesus. This is really, really important to us. I want to tell you, when one of my children was 7 years old, that's why I have this stone for you this morning, kind of a couple reasons, but about, I guess it will be like 18 years ago now, we came to this property, and there was a church here, and we were part of another church, and we prayed and asked God to give us a church on this exact piece of property, but we never raised the money, and it never happened. And then we came back here because there was a church that wanted us to talk about using their building, and we came here, and it was in the very same piece of property. Amazing. And right across from that hedge where your kids run through all the time on the other side, there were these stones, and we picked them up. And my oldest daughter, Mandy, she turned to me when we stood out there, and she said, Dad, we've been here before. And I said, we have. And she said, we picked up a stone as a reminder to pray and to ask Jesus to give us a church here. And I said, we did. And she turned around, and she's like, well, is that our church? And I said, no, it's not our church, but it's another church that someone got built, and I think they might let us use it. And 45 days from that day, it was our church in the sense that these two churches came together and I became the lead pastor, and I don't know, it was like 18 years ago. And so like our kids, like my 7-year-old daughter at the time took a stone and remembered. It was on her dresser, and she remembered that God promised to do something. That we asked God to give us a church building, and that God would be faithful to fulfill his promises. And unbeknownst to us, even though the money didn't get raised in one season, a few years later, here we are. It's on the exact same piece of property. Do you understand that? It's unbelievable. God keeps his promises. Sometimes not the way you expect. It's unbelievable. So remembering the promises of God, it's a primary thing we're supposed to do with the next generation. There's a little bit more. Verse 24 says, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty and that you may fear the Lord your God. Remembering the promises of God means remembering the mission of God. We remember the promises of God not just because it feels good to us, not just because it feels good to remember how good God has been to us. I just did that, and there's no shame in that. I am glad to remember how good God has been to me and to my family and to this church family. But we don't just remember the promises of God because it feels good to us. We remember the promises of God because we remember the mission of God. The purpose of the stones was missional, global, and eternal. It was missional. It says so that all the peoples of the earth may know. God wants all the peoples to know, not just us. God wants all kinds of people to know, not just us. He wants all kinds of people to know that he is faithful to keep his promises. This morning, I think I already met 5 new families that I don't even know. And part of the reason we decided to go to 2 services was to open up more room at the Village Church for more people who don't know Jesus, who are coming back to him, or like-minded with us and want a new church family that they can grow with. And like, already I've met 5 new families this morning. There are some of you, I met you for the first time this morning. God's answering his prayer. We want to let other people know about the promises of God. That he wants other people to know what is happening, what he's doing. I mean, these stones that are stacked up, they're not just a memory. They're certainly not a memorial. No one died there in the river. They are a missional marker to say, this is what God is doing and we see it and he's gonna keep doing it. It is not just missional, it's global. That is the reach, right? So that all the peoples of the earth would know. The stones are not just for Israel, they're for the nations. Did you get that? They don't just stack the stones so that as the people of God, they can go, this is what God did for us as the people of God. No, he says, so that all the other nations would know. So that all these other people would know. That is it. It's missional, it's global, and it's eternal. That you may fear the Lord your God forever. That's the length of the mission. That the things that we do to obey God and walk in obedience to his promises and walk into them as he fulfills them, they have eternal consequence. And those 30,000 people that you could reach just by parenting your children well, there's eternal consequence that's surrounding all of that. Maybe like me, as you hear some of this, you're remembering what Jesus said as we remember this morning, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and you shall be my witnesses. Not you should be or you could be. I wish you were. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We've been talking about a plus one initiative around here at the Village Church the last few weeks. It comes from John 1 where, Andrew invites Peter to come see Jesus and Philip invites Nathaniel to come see Jesus, and it would make sense that we would invite someone to come hear about Jesus and to see his faithfulness. And to do this in this next season, Village Church, we're gonna need everyone. We're gonna all need to think about who's our plus one, who's the person that we're inviting in. How is that going to work in and through our lives? If you're a Village partner, this is called missional partnership, and you sat in partnership class, we talked about it, but we just wanna talk about it. We wanna do it. We wanna live this out together. And you can even see that in this passage in part. In verse 4 of this chapter, it says, then Joshua called the 12 men of the tribes of Israel, whom he had appointed, a man from each tribe. A man from each tribe. That there are families that are being represented, and it's saying all of us, God's been faithful to all of us, and it's going to take all of us to accomplish this. Even the tribes that lived across the river, they actually came. It's going to take all of God's people. And sometimes in a church, there are certain families that are really influential and they kind of help steer things or they kind of thwart things sometimes. And like, I don't sense that at all at the Village Church. And praise God, because it's going to take all of us, all the families connected to this church family, to see these things continue in the days ahead. So there's a lot we remember when we remember the promises of God. But at the end of the day, there's only one thing we really need to remember. And if you're at the Village Church for very long, I hope this is going to be a pretty easy one for you to figure out. You know what I'm going to say. that remembering the promises of God is ultimately about remembering the Son of God, isn't it? Remembering the promises of God is ultimately about remembering the Son of God. The book of Hebrews says it this way, for if Joshua had given them rest, God would not have spoken of another day later on. Like, this is all pointing somewhere, right? Everything that's happening at the Jordan is all pointing somewhere. So then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. God delivering his people through crossing the Jordan anticipates and ultimately points to a greater deliverance and a greater Joshua, by the way. Joshua and Jesus have the same name. I know you know that. So Jesus will later stand in the Jordan River, listen to me, not to part it, but to identify with sinners in it, even though he was sinless. And Jesus will later live a life of perfect obedience before God on our behalf so that we can inherit the promises of God despite our disobedience. And Jesus will later die on a cross, a more perfect stone of remembrance, by the way, crossing over from life to death and carrying the penalty of our disobedience on himself on the cross. And Jesus will later rise from death, the ultimate stone of remembrance that was rolled away from his tomb as Jesus crossed from life to death and back from death to life again to secure our eternal inheritance. And so when we remember any of the promises of God, we should always remember this promise of God, that Jesus lived for us, that Jesus died for us, that Jesus rose for us, and Jesus is coming again. And I hope that's the good news for you this morning, because it certainly is, that Jesus crossed from life to death and death to life so that we will ultimately never cross into death through our faith in him. Amen? Would you pray with me? Jesus, we thank you this morning for what you've done to keep your promises to us. When we think about the obedience that you use in some way, shape, or form to fulfill your promises to us, but ultimately, Lord, we remember your obedience that accomplishes all of these things for us. And so, Lord, we want to be a people who remembers well, that remembers your faithfulness to us, remembers your faithfulness through the obedience that passes these things on to our kids, that doesn't just take these things for ourselves, but passes them along to other people, and ultimately always remembers you. Because, Lord, ultimately, at the end of the day, there's nothing better than to remember you. And so we remember you this morning, and we love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.